From the studios of Books in Motion in Spokane, Washington, this is Ron Varela reading The Oswald Reflection, a novel by Larry Naimes. Now let's begin with The Oswald Reflection. Prologue. Atsugi, Japan, October 1, 1958. Ellis David O'Toole, Corporal, United States Marine Corps, entered his barracks shortly after lunch. He walked directly to his bunk, intent on getting a pack of Pall Malls out of his footlocker. He squatted down in front of the locker, took the combination lock in his left hand. But as he did, he noticed something wrong with his bunk. It had a wrinkle in the blanket. This minute detail suggested to him that someone had sat on his bed since he'd made it that morning. Feeling vaguely like Papa Bear, he scanned the room instinctively in search of the Goldilocks who had perpetrated the crime, and muttered aloud, "Who the hell has been sitting on my bunk?" Seeing no one about, he dropped the lock and proceeded to smooth out the wrinkle in the blanket. Being an extremely meticulous person, a trait exacerbated by his Marine Corps training, he was truly upset by this incident of trespass. He would make it a point to find out who had done the misdeed, then he would seek an apology. In the meantime, he returned to his locker to fetch the smokes he had come for in the first place. He twisted the dial with the right combination, and the lock popped open. He removed the lock and lifted the lid to discover that his cigarettes were in the wrong position. The brand name was upside down. That was strange, because he always placed the packs with the brand name in such a position that it could be read instantly when the locker was opened. Was this compulsive behavior? No. Marine training. O'Toole concluded that someone had been in his locker that morning while he was at work. He felt anger, certain that someone had burglarized his possessions. Then the pain of violation struck him. He made a quick inventory of his belongings. He counted the packs of Pall Malls. All there. He opened his shaving kit. Razor, Gillette Foamy, toothbrush, Crest, dental floss. There. His clothing in all the right places, in the proper order as dictated by the Marine manual. Personal effects were next to be accounted for. Pen, pencil, writing tablet, letters from home. All there. Camera, transistor radio, photos. Photos? All missing. Someone had stolen all the pictures he had taken of his buddies and himself. A victim. His jaw tightened with anguish. "Son of a bitch!" he swore with venomous anger, his voice echoing through the vacant barracks. At a calmer level, he said, "Why in hell would anybody want those pictures?" His confidence went flat. He shook his drooping head. "Why?" he asked again. "Why?" The answer was 19 years into the future. Chapter 1. Glen Egan, Wisconsin, February 8, 1977. The telephone rang in the office of the Weekly Times, the oldest newspaper in central Wisconsin. Middle-aged Molly Lear, the secretary, who some wags in town said had slept with every editor of the paper since the local celebration of VJ Day, picked up the receiver with a well-manicured hand and put it gently to her right ear, taking care not to touch it to the gold-plated hoop earring hanging from the lobe of her left ear. "Weekly Times," she said, with slight annoyance through glossy red lips. She listened for a few seconds, then announced, "It's long distance for you, Tom." She spoke loud enough for everyone in the room to hear her. The regular office crew consisted of 6 women and 2 men. Only 4 of the women and Thomas Marshall Regan, news reporter and sports editor, were present at the moment. The girls, as Regan referred to them away from the office, pretended not to be listening, but he knew they were all ears whenever he received a call. Being the products of small towns, they were always eager to overhear all conversations, particularly if the person calling Regan was a woman. One look at Molly told them this was one of those occasions. Since Regan was unmarried, his private life was open to much speculation by his co-workers. They turned up their hearing volumes a couple of notches, all ears, straining to catch every word possible. "I'll take it in Barney's office."
"Sample complete. Ready to continue?